Fine crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
All right, what are we actually talking about today? Not just biscuits.
Well, today we're talking about Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne. It is almost that time of the year.
It's the last word salad of the year, so I figured no one wants to hear about Auld Lang Syne in January, do they?
No, it's been and done at that point.
Although, it's kind of only outside of Scotland that it's just a New Year's song.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that is already news to me.
And in Scotland, it's kind of like a general events.
Okay, it's a celebration song.
It's like a kind of like a remembrance kind of thing. Apparently, people do it at jamborees.
At your jamboree, your Kaylee, you all do of those things.
Any kind, I guess you would do it at like a school graduation or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get you. So let's rewind a little bit here. What is Auld Lang Syne for anyone tuned in and being like, what are they talking about here?
So I'm sure everyone's heard Auld Lang Syne, you know, should old acquaintance be forgotten? Auld Lang Syne.
Exactly.
So basically it starts off in the mists of time.
Yes.
And basically Robbie Burns comes along in the late 1700s and he adapts this kind of like Scottish folk song into this more structured poem that he writes in Scots. It's written in Scots. It's Scots language. And cool. That is kind of what we're going to be talking about. But we'll do a little bit. We'll talk about Auld Lang Syne for a bit and then we'll talk more generally about Scots.
Can I just say, I've always loved Robbie Burns because he's my birthday buddy. So I feel like solidarity with the poet that he is.
Have you ever been haggis hunting? Have you caught a wild haggis?
I haven't caught a wild haggis, no, but if we really want to take the train off the tracks, we could talk once again on the radio about how I did Scottish Highland dancing as a small child.
Okay, so kind of like a decade after this poem, poem in song form, it gets set to a tune, it gets set to a traditional tune. It's in the Roud. I've never known how to pronounce that.
Neither do
I. You know the folk index?
Yes.
Yeah. It's in there. Apparently it's number 6294 and 13892, but that's folk songs for you. So it becomes this kind of like popular song and it's kind of like an old standard. And then in the 20s, Guy Lombardo, or is it Guy Lombardo? I don't know.
I think it's probably Guy, but I kind of like the idea of being Guy Lombardo.
But he has this like annual, he does like an annual New Year's radio program. And he's like, you know what? I want to sing my favorite Scots language song about times gone by, because that's what Auld Lang Syne means. It means like times long since, stuff that has past
stuff,
you know.
What's gone,
yeah. And he's like, this will be great, I'll do this every year for as long as my show runs.
So what era are we talking about here?
Well, his show runs, so he does this from 1929 until 1977.
Whoa, that's 50 years of Auld Lang Syne.
Yes,
that's long enough to make it a thing.
And so yeah, and so it's he's kind of like largely credited with popularizing it as a New Year's song, and in kind of like the like Anglophone countries in the English speaking world, it's very popular, even though it is a song not in English, which is kind of what I want to talk about.
We can get to that in 1 second. I just want to say, imagine doing radio from 1929 to the 70s. How much technology changes in that time? That's blown my mind a little bit.
I think
bit.
There's probably some BFM DJs who could tell you about that.
Oh, yeah. They'll be listening right now, shaking their heads.
BFM wasn't founded in the 20s.
That was just a fun little joke.
Incorrect.
All right. Hit us with some Scots.
So basically, often when you will hear people talk about Scots now, you will hear them talk about it as like a dialect of English. Basically, they're just kind of being a bit of a dick when they do that.
Okay.
So Scots kind of diverged from English in the kind of like Middle English period. So, you know, back when English is like unrecognizable, kind of weird Franco-Germanic thing, you've tried to read an old poem and gone, what is this? So Scots splits off from there. And it's like one of two kind of indigenous languages of Scotland. So in the lowlands, you have Scots And then in the Highlands, you have Scottish Gaelic, which has kind of a variety of different names, but is more similar to Gaelic.
Yeah.
And gets kind of called like Scottish Irish and like weird stuff like that. But basically, Scots is what people speak in Scotland, and it is different. It has different, to a certain extent, like a different grammar. It has a very different vocabulary.
Wow.
And it has different orthographic practices. We're going to have to come back to that.
That's a whole sentence I didn't understand, but we can park that one for now.
But so kind of what happens is that in, I should look up this date, but in the...
Hacker styles.
in basically, Britain happens.
Okay.
So...
That it does.
It's the 17th.
Can hear you scrolling in real time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just feel like I should have a date for this. Yeah, it's the Act of Union 1707. So Britain happens. Basically, a king moves house and he decides that like Scotland and England should be one entity. And then the extremely confusing thing known as Britain happens.
Yes.
Because what is Britain?
That's a big question.
Exactly. It's
for a
question
day.
That, yeah. And so you get this kind of like anglification, to coin a phrase, of Scotland and a lot of Scottish intelligentsia. And so around this time, that's going to be like big name Scottish Enlightenment figures like Adam Smith and Hume, you know?
Mm.
Old is ought distinction, mate. Old problem of induction, buddy. They're like, you know what? Scottish kind of sucks. I don't even really feel Scottish. I feel like I'm Northern English.
Ooh.
I feel like Scots is a kind of dirty language for poor people, and I want to ally myself with
to these
this
poshos
kind of,
from down south.
Exactly.
Got you.
And so you have this kind of this idea that Scots is this kind of like degenerate version of English rather than being a language in its own right.
Right.
And that's why you get poshos from, and they'll be like, oh, I'm Scottish. And you're like, oh, it's weird. You've got kind of an English accent, J.K. Rowling. Because there's this history of Scots being kind of like, essentially made to be more like lower class.
Yeah.
And then it starts getting referred to as a dialect, because the difference between a language and a dialect is muddy at best, right?
Got you. Okay. Yeah.
And so
we've kind of touched on that in the past a wee bit.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And so you usually when people are making that division, it's like it's a value judgment. They're getting into the is-ought distinction, right? They're bringing some ethical calls into their yeah. And so you get this kind of like subjugation of Scots,
the language and the people.
And so it gets seen as kind of like inferior, and it basically kind of dies out.
Oh my goodness.
And so the stuff that I've been talking about is a very kind of like bird's eye historical view.
Mm.
If you go and talk to someone in Scotland, they will say, yes, it's a dialect of English.
That is super interesting.
Yeah, and it's only, so there have been a few attempts at kind of like revitalization. So Robbie Burns is like a big,
good on you,
kind
Robbie,
of key figure in maintaining Scots.
Mm-hmm. It's always the artists. It's always the poets and the writers and the musicians who are like, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Let's not let this happen.
And to a certain extent, you know, like that's not that far off from the formation of Britain and the start and kind of like the start of this like intense, like, no, we don't want to be Scottish. We want to be British.
Mm.
And so, it's still kind of like, it could be seen as a revitalization or just even as the tail end of like the flourishing of Scots as a language itself.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not until actually the 2010s that you get the government trying to step in and like revitalize Scots in the way that
that's like
something like
a couple
like
of
Welsh.
Years ago.
Yeah, totally. But I wanted to say there are some cool English words that come from Scots.
Cool. Hit us with a lovely listicle.
So, blackmail.
Oh, really?
Yep. Canny.
Yeah, that one makes that makes sounds sense. Scottish. Yeah.
Clan, which is like Scot via it's from Gaelic via Scots.
Cool.
Cozy, Firth, Glamour is a really good one,
really?
And it shares a root with grammar, right? Because
oh, true. Okay.
Because it means like kind of like deep secret learning.
Glamour,
because it originally refers to like magic.
Yes.
So you know when you hear about vampires glamouring someone, that is actually the more original meaning of the word.
Ah. It's not a vampire swanning in their beautiful like vampire jacket and being fabulous in that space. They're actually using their vampire magic to like wooze you out.
Yeah, totally. Gumption.
Gumption.
Obviously Halloween, things like Laddie and Lassie, those are kind of more straightforward. Pony, scone.
Scone?
Skullduggery.
Oh, good one.
And a personal favourite of mine, wow.
Wow. Really? That is awesome.
Wow.
Wow indeed.
Yeah, and so I think, so there's this kind of like, there is like a wealth of Scots language literature, and so there have been kind of like attempts to revitalize it, but one issue that they're having, and this is kind of like a side note, I know it sounds like I'm building to a big point, but this is kind of just interesting, is that... So in English, you get, and we've talked about this before when we talked about spelling,
yeah.
You get these big attempts at like orthographic standardization. Like if you're speaking English and you're writing it down, it has to look like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't get that in Scots.
That's cool.
And so now it's hard to integrate it into like an essentially English-based learning system, because when you're saying like, here is the spelling and grammar,
it's not really in any, there's no really rules to it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But then at the same time, there has been criticism because when they're trying to teach it, you will have a side by side English and Scots exercises, and the yeah. English one will be like, you have to do it like this, and the Scots one will be like, do however you feel, bro. And no
I like
one
the Scots way more.
I mean, it's cool, but also like Scots language people are like, well, I mean, it's a little bit more than that, like. And the English people are like, yeah, see, it's terrible.
Bloody colonization.
But yeah, I think it's really interesting because English, as English speakers, we're not used to having other languages which are so similar to ours.
But that aren't the same language.
Yeah, totally. And so I think this would be like a much more kind of clear idea to someone who speaks like, you know, Spanish or Portuguese.
Yeah.
You couldn't go to them and be like, oh, so-and-so is just a dialect of your language. They would get quite angry.
One outs you in the countdown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because English is such kind of like a freak language, we're very happy to be like, Scots is just a dialect of English, and we're going to sing this Scots song at New Year's and not really understand what it means.
That came full circle in a beautiful way at the end there. Thank you very much, Amelia. I genuinely feel like my brain has expanded right now. You've picked us a Camera Obscura track. We did want to play their version of Auld Lang Syne, but it's in a John Peel session that's honestly very hard to track down. So we've got this one instead. What are we going to be listening to?
We're going to be listening to Camera Obscura, kind of like they've adapted a Robbie Burns poem. It's called Love My Jean.
Thanks, Amelia.
My pleasure. Nice to be back in the studio.
Woohoo!
Sweet and free. It's not a body flowered springs by a fountain shore or green. It's not a body bird that sings of mine's me.
Just a side note. Someone texted in saying it's Rabbi, not Robbie, and Amelia says that's a whole word salad unto itself.
No, they're right.
You're right. But yeah, it's a lot to explain. Thank you, Amelia. That was Camera Obscura with "I Love My Jean," and that was a lot of knowledge that I feel like I have learnt.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.